saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Father, help us this morning, God. Help me to convey this message in a way that you have conveyed it into my heart. God, that it may be a help to your people. Lord, it is not my desire, God, to edify myself this morning. It's my desire to lift you up, that you will draw people to yourself, God. And I pray you to do that. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified, God, above all this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this passage, as I said, is a very familiar scripture, a story of a man whose path Jesus crossed. At this point in Jesus' ministry, much of what I would call his earthly ministry was basically him just going from town to town and encountering people in different conditions and different situations. In John chapter number 3, he is encountered by a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes by night to come and visit Jesus. He was a Pharisee, a member of an elite group of Pharisees known as the Sanhedrin. And he came and had a conversation with Jesus in John chapter 3, which is where we get the probably most famous verse of all time, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus spoke those words directly to Nicodemus. And then in John chapter number 4, he takes a trip and makes a visit to an area called Sychar in Samaria, specifically to a landmark called Jacob's Well. And there he encountered a woman. This woman had a tattered past. She had a lot of problems. She had been married, from what we know from the text, she had been married 5 different times and was currently living with a man who was not her husband. And Jesus encounters this woman and makes a change in her life by showing her that what she is seeking at the well is not what's going to help her. He introduces her to the living water. He says, if you'll take what I've got to give you, it'll come from inside of you, and you'll no longer have to seek it on the outside. Is everybody with me? Say amen. Amen. And then in John chapter number 5, Jesus goes up to Jerusalem because there was a feast going on. There was a celebration going on in Jerusalem. And so he goes up to the temple area there. And around the temple were 5 porches. Those porches would have been, we wouldn't call it a porch, we'd call it a patio, because we live in Eastern North Carolina. And if you have a porch, it's built out of wood. It stands up off the ground. If you have a patio, this is more like a pool patio. In the middle of this concreted area, this flattened out area, was a pool of water. And this particular pool of water, called in the Bible Bethesda in the Hebrew tongue, this particular pool of water had an interesting thing that happened to it every so often. In your Bible, John says that at a certain season, an angel would come down and trouble the water and give to that water healing power and ability. Now, there is much theological dispute as to what was going on here. There are some that say that there was a bubbling spring inside of that pool, inside of that aqueduct pond, if you will, and that it would bubble up. And the reason why people got healed was as much mental as it was physical, that the water certainly had healing properties because of the minerals that were in it, but that there were people who were healed because they wanted to be healed and that type of thing. But I'm just going to tell you, I wasn't there. I ain't never been there. You ain't never been there. And Matthew Henry ain't never been there. And Charles Spurgeon ain't never been there. Because you can't go there because it ain't there no more. Is everybody with me? Say amen. Now,
You say, what was going on here? I don't know. Here's what John said. John said that there was an angel. Now, we could spend a lot of time preaching on what an angel is. There's all different kinds of angels. There's God's angels, and then there's some of them other angels. I don't know what was going on here, but here's what John said. He said there was an angel that come down every so often and troubled that water, stirred it up. And that whoever got in the water the quickest, the first one to immerse themselves in that water, received healing of all of their infirmities. You say, preacher, is that exactly? Listen, it don't matter. Here's what matters. Everybody in that area believed that that's exactly how this was going down. So why is that important? Because if there was a pool of water in downtown Wilson that people, everybody in Wilson County believed that this is what happened to it. Every year an angel come down, stirred up the water, the first person in the water got healed of whatever was wrong with them. How many people do you think there would be gathered around that water at all times? That's what we're looking at here. Jesus walks into a place. Here's the truth. It was really odd for a man of Jesus' stature to even be in that place. Say, why? Because it's full of sick people and crippled people. The Bible says there lay a multitude of impotent folk. That word impotent means without power. Blind, halt, withered, lame. That's not a place where a religious leader would be hanging out, which is an indictment on the religion of that day, but we ain't got time to preach all that. This thing don't seem like it's following me, are we all? Okay, well, we'll try it. I'm going to try it. Anyhow, this place, Jesus walks into this place, and I like what verse number 5 says, and a certain man was there. Can I tell you something this morning? I find it very interesting that Jesus never walks into a situation without having a plan. Here's what I mean by that. When Jesus approached the well in John chapter 4 in Sychar, Samaria, he did not go there to see who he ran into. He went there to seek out that woman in particular. When Jesus, and I believe just as much as that is true, that when Jesus walked into the porch of the pool of Bethesda in John chapter number 5, he was not looking for just anybody who happened to be there, but particularly for this man. Now, I could give you a multitude of reasons of why I think that is, but I think a lot of it comes down to there must have been something about this man's heart that had a desire for something different than what he had. He must have been, in some sense, seeking after the Lord for Jesus to have had his attention placed on this man. But either way, Jesus approaches this man, and we begin to find out about this man by learning about the issue in his life. So let's talk about it. Number one, the issue. This man obviously had some serious problems. I know this is a little different. I'm going to preach in a little while. Everybody okay? Y'all looking kind of sleepy this morning. You better go on and wake up. He had some problems, and he had some problems that it didn't seem like anybody was able to fix. Your Bible says, verse number 5, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. I want everybody under 38 years old in this building to raise your hand. If you are less than 38 years old, over half of the people, you put them back down. That means over half of the people in this building have not lived as long on earth as this man had lived with this condition. That means that everybody that just raised your hand, longer than your entire life, this man had spent in a condition that caused him to suffer and not be able to live a functional life. In verse number 7, it calls him the impotent
man. There's that word again, impotent, without power. 38 years of powerlessness, laying in one spot, waiting for something to happen. Here's what he said. He said, I've been laying here all these years, and every time the water gets troubled, somebody else gets in before I do. How many times? The Bible, many believe that happened once a year, but that's not what your Bible says. It doesn't necessarily say it happens once a year. I don't know how many times it happened, but at least once a year, 38 times, this man had watched somebody else get the healing that he had come to get, and he was so close to it that he could smell it and he could see it, but he couldn't get to it. 38 years. That's a long time. How many people this morning spend their entire lives stuck in a condition, stuck in a state of unfulfilled lostness, stuck in a condition of sin sickness, laying around in their sin, waiting for something to happen. And it don't seem like nothing ever happens. Tomorrow's going to be the same as today. Yesterday was the same as tomorrow will be. For many, this is the state of their being. They may not be like this man, stuck in one physical place, but they are certainly not going anywhere. Are y'all with me this morning? Say amen. I'm talking about being in a position where not only did this man have a condition, not only was this man stuck, but he knew exactly what the cure was for his condition, and it was reachable, it was attainable. He could see it, he could hear it, he could smell it, he could see others getting in on it, but yet he never got there. I'm talking about people that have gotten down to the point that they have accepted their condition and are no longer even looking for a cure. I'd say after 38 years, over the course of 38 years, the amount of effort that this man put into trying to get in that water probably didn't go up, it probably went down. As hopelessness began to set in, as he began to resign himself to a life of impotence. So many are walking around plagued by sin, plagued by the curse of this world. And many have resigned themselves to the idea that that's just the way it is. Nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to get better. I can't fix it myself, and nobody's going to fix it for me. This man had hunkered down in the one place that he thought he might get some help, but help had not come. There are multitudes in this world that have resigned themselves to the fact that they will never find a cure for their sinful and lost condition. And there are many today that have hunkered down into a life that is just close enough to what can help them, but they can't bridge the gap. They may be somebody in here, and you're looking around saying, I see everybody else getting help. I see everybody else getting in the water. I can see the change in everybody else's life, but it don't seem like no matter what I do, I ain't getting no help. Y'all awake this morning, say amen. You see, there was not only an issue, but there was an illusion. This man suffered from a severe misconception about what it is that he needed. He was under the impression that if he stayed there long enough, at some point, some man would come by and give him a helping hand. But in verse number 7 of this chapter, he makes one of the truest statements that's ever been made.
Jesus asks him in verse number 6. I wish I had time to preach every line of this chapter here, because there's so much here. Look at what verse number 6 says. It says, when Jesus saw him lie. I love that Jesus didn't picture him in a better condition. He saw him where he was and still went to him. Somebody ought to holler amen right there. When Jesus saved me, he didn't see me as what I would be. He saw me as what I was right then. And he still came anyways. He still loved me anyway. As impotent as I was, as withered as I was, as useless as I was. Hey, listen, that's what's so beautiful about Jesus. He sees him and he comes to him and he asks him a question. He said, do you want to get better? Wilt thou be made whole? And I want you to notice what the man says in verse number 7. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. What a truth that this man stated, and he didn't even realize what he had said. The truth of the matter is, he most certainly did not have a man that was willing to help. And even if he did, he obviously didn't have a man that had the power to help. He didn't have a man to pick him up and put him into the water. He didn't have a man to stay there with him and wait until the water was troubled and make the move. He didn't have anybody who could get him to that point. And I'm here to echo that sentiment to every lost person and every wayward Christian in the building today. I have no man. There is nothing in or of this world that is going to cure your ailments or fix your problems. There's no man that's going to come by and do what you need done. I can't solve all the issues of your life, and I don't know nobody that can on this earth. I have no man. I've got nobody that's got that kind of power. There is no human being that has that kind of ability. There's not an amount of money in the world or an amount of influence or power in the world that can save you from your lost condition. What you need this morning is not a band-aid. It's not a quick fix. It's not a turnaround or a turnover. It is an eternal solution. Because even if a man was to come along that had the power to make your life better or easier on this earth, the problem is he wouldn't have the power to deal with what comes next. He wouldn't have the power to fix your eternity, even if I could come along and pay all your bills and solve all your worldly problems and fix all your sicknesses and get you everything that you need on this earth. You would still be lost and on your way to a devil's hell for eternity. And I cannot solve that for you. I have no man. There's no amount of me touching you or praying for you or dunking you or wishing on you. There's no snot-covered rag that I can send you in the mail that's going to fix your problem. I have no man. But I'm here to tell you this morning, what you need is not a man-made solution.
Amen. This guy said, I have no man. And Jesus didn't say it out loud, but I could hear it. You're right. That's a problem. Preacher, don't seem like nobody can fix my problems. You're right. You're right. And then we see the intervention. All of a sudden, something drastically changed in this man's situation. How many times, I want you to think about this, 38 years, we can only assume that he had been there for 38 years. Well, the Bible doesn't expressly say that, but the Bible does say that he had been there a long time in that condition. 38 years of laying there in that spot, which was a place where only people with problems would be. I could preach right there for 3 hours. That reminds me of what the church is supposed to look like. That's why a lot of churches are dying. Because they look like a museum to righteousness rather than a hospital for sinners. Amen. 38 years, how many people, how many men do you think had walked by and spoken to this man and given him advice? Let me ask you something. What happens when you tell people, all right, let's put it in the modern world. Y'all awake? Let's talk about social media.
That's half of us, the only thing we need to comprehend anymore.
If you put on social media that you got some kind of ailment, on average, how many people are going to give you how many different solutions? Everybody's a doctor on Facebook. I mean, seriously, if I put on Facebook, my stomach's hurting, I'll get 47 messages. You need to go outside, get you a handful of wild onions, and chew on them for an hour. I mean, that's kind of silly. Think about this. How many people have walked by and looked at that man and said, I know what's wrong with you. Here's what you need to do to fix it. Why don't you get some of this elixir I'm selling? Why don't you get some of this, these pills I got? Why don't you need to do these exercises? I hate when people tell me to do exercises. Because you know I ain't going to do it. I know I ain't going to do it. This is, why are we having this conversation? We're just lying to each other. Well, if you wear these braces, you'll be able to walk. If you'll drink this tonic I have, you'll be able to walk. I wonder how many walked by and just said, sorry for you, sir. Let me pray for you. I wonder how many church groups came through that porch. Everybody with me this morning?
Mm-hmm.
And listen, I'm glad if they did, but I want you to hear me right here. Sorry ain't always good enough. I wonder how many pastors come through there and said, let me pray for you, sir. You know why? Because they didn't know what to do. And the only thing they knew was to ask God about it. And that's a good thing, but hear me now. For most people, in reality, can we be real this morning?
Yeah.
I don't believe that most Christians are prayer warriors. I believe that most Christians go to the Lord as a last resort.
Yeah.
Practicality. That's what I'm just telling you the truth. You ought not be that way, but that ain't the point. How many people had come through and said, look at this guy. And I wonder how many had come through and mocked him. I wonder how many youngins had come running through that porch. Said, look at all these crippled people in here. Give me a stick, I'm going to poke one. Youngins are mean, amen. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Y'all would have done it when y'all was younger. Y'all would have been right up in there, sitting up on the wall, looking at all them. Look at that fellow over there. Look at the way his legs is bent. You know I'm telling the truth. See, amen, right there. I ain't like I'm the only one. I'm from Bakertown, North Carolina, praise God. But on this day, after 38 years, a man come by and offered a solution that he had never heard before. He didn't offer him any home remedies. He didn't tell him about some medication that he had heard about online. I mean, he didn't draw him up a shot of ivermectin. Hey, man, I'm going to work that into every sermon from here on out. Y'all know what I'm saying? He didn't consult the latest medical journal. You know what he said to him? This is so crazy to me. We overlook these things in Scripture, but you know what he said to him? He looks at this guy that's been laying there for 38 years not able to walk. And he said, won't you just get up? I mean, huh? He said, the first question he asked him, he said, wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to get better? Huh. No, I've just been laying here 38 years. Waiting to get in this water. I mean, I'm perfectly fine. Well, how about, won't you get up? Look what he said. Jesus said to him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. That's three things that this man was not capable of. You think about that. Jesus instructed this man to do three separate things that he did not have the ability to do.
And it was at this moment, I believe, that this man realized that he was no longer dealing with the type of person that he had always dealt with. Let me ask you this. I've never been paralyzed. But when you're paralyzed, you can't feel nothing, right? How do you think it would feel if your legs didn't move for 38 years and all of a sudden became reinvigorated? You think you would notice that? How do you think it would feel if you had been suffering so long? You ever hurt with something so long that it just becomes a part of your being and you just live with it and you kind of don't even notice it? But hear me now. Listen, we've been doing this thing. Paige is pregnant, you know. We've been doing this thing. See these videos, these people picking their wife's stomach up. I done that the other night. And she... I mean, really, you don't notice it, but when that relief comes, boy, it's noticeable. How many conversations had this man had where people tried to cast spells on him and cast devils out of him? I'm so sick of these devil-casting preachers trying to call every sickness a devil. Listen to me. Jesus never casted a devil out of a sick person.
That's right.
Read your Bible. He cast the devils out of people that had devils and he healed people that were sick. That's two different things. That don't have nothing to do with the message. I just felt like saying. Listen now. How many people have done how many seances and things around this guy? But when Jesus said, rise, take up thy bed, and walk, I believe it became very clear to this man in that moment that not only he could do that, that he was going to do that. I believe that it became very, very apparent to him that something had just happened that did not make sense, but there was no denying it. He was dealing with something so much more powerful than anything he had ever dealt with. He had come face to face with the great physician, the Redeemer, the Lamb of God. Are you listening to me this morning? All of a sudden, his entire condition changed. There was no longer a question. Jesus didn't say, stand up and put your arm around my shoulder and let's see if we can get a few steps off. Jesus didn't say, hey, won't you move your leg around and let's see if it's starting to heal up. Jesus said, get up and go. Hey, listen to me. I remember November 10th, 2013. I was lost as lost could be on my way to a devil's hell. I had tried everything and everybody and nothing had changed. Nothing was different. But I could take you to the place in Cornerstone Church in the pastor's office. I can feel the material on the chair as we sat and prayed. And all of a sudden when I stood up from that place, hey listen, there was no more questions whether or not it could be done. I knew. I didn't understand what had happened. I didn't understand how it was possible. I didn't understand how in one moment I could be one way and in another moment I could be something different. But I knew in my bones that the man in that office that day was not the same man that walked in. I remember when God began to burden my heart and call me to preach. Much like this impotent man, he asked me to do something that I could not do, that I didn't have the power to do, and I didn't have the ability to do. But all of a sudden, I realized he had given me power that I didn't understand, that I could do what he called me to do. Are you listening to me this morning? I have no man that can fix your problems, but I've got a God this morning that can solve all your problems. I have no man that can heal your body, but I've got a Jesus this morning that can heal it without ever touching you. I have no man that can fix your relationships, but I've got a God this morning that has no limitation. He can take the life of sin sickness that you have wallowed in for years and years, and he can transform it into something new. Amen.
What I'm trying to tell you this morning is, I have no earthly solutions, but I have a heavenly Father. I like what the songwriter said. We have a heavenly Father above, eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. And He stands ready and willing to do for you what was done for this impotent man. No, not ever again in your Bible, in all the conversations that this man has, which is not a lot, but in the rest of the conversation with this man, never again in your Bible is he called the impotent man. To this point, that's the only name he's been given. You know what he's called the next time we hear his name? He that was healed. That's a different man, Brother Pleasant. That's not the same person. Hey, you can leave here different than you came this morning.
Amen. Won't you stand together? Heads are bowed and eyes are